So, Gary, you know, your role at Bridgestone means that you know more about motorcycle tyres than probably most people in the UK. So, to have you here, I want to ask you, what makes for a great motorcycle tyre?
Good question, James. I think a good motorcycle tyre is designed over a period of time. You know, even though we come out with something new every, you know, sort of 3 or 4 years, it's basically an evolution of its predecessor. Unless that predecessor is really not up to standard, which is very rare that happens. So it's something that's designed over a period of time. It's like the GS. You know, that one was, like, is it 40 years now for the GS? You know, so that's been tweaked. So, you know, the design ethos of that 40 years ago, but it hasn't actually changed that much, has it? Even though it gets better and better and better every year. And that's what happens with tyres. You know, we start, especially if we come out with something good, like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, we just tweak it and develop it and just make it slightly better every single year. And the thing is, I think now, the performance of tyres, whether it be an adventure tyre, motocross, or even racing tyres, is so good. You know, riders out there, they've never had it so good. The actual performance of tyres now, whether it be wet and dry on the track or whatever it is just phenomenal. You know, going back to when I first started riding, if you put those tyres on now versus today's, humongous difference.
Yeah, and one of the things that blew my mind when I found it out is that it can take someone like Bridgestone like up 4 or 5 years to develop a new tyre. Is that right? So you're having to see into the future. You're having to anticipate what people want. You know, you're having to be kind of fortune tellers.
I mean, a few years ago, that would be exactly right. But now we use computer software, as most things are now. So we've got something called what we call the Ultimate Eye software. And we can pretty much design a tyre within, well, a very, very short period of time now to within very close percentage to what its final actual produced solid piece of tyre is. But, you know, the problem is then is we've got to have a 2, 3, 4 year cycle of a particular tyre for it to get into the market, for it to become popular. So there's no point changing a tyre, even though we probably could change a tyre every year. There's no point because, you know, like I say, you're just taking sales off one to another.
Yeah.
So you need time to get a tyre into the market, get it established, and then you'll come out with one 3 or 4 years later, a replacement. But we do come out with a tyre almost every year, but it'll be in a different sector.
Yeah. So how do you know? So, you know, you've got a tyre, it's performing well, but, you know, you want to enhance, you want to improve with every new evolution. How do you know what to do? How do you know what people want? Do you go out there and talk to riders, or is it a case of just racking up the miles yourself to see where you can improve?
Well, there's market research that goes on globally. We sort of really know what motorcyclists. It's not like a car tyre where there's probably 100 different brands in motorcycle. There's very few brands, you know, there's the top four maybe, and then there's the other guys as well. But even there, you know, they're getting up there, they're getting closer. There's no such thing as a bad tyre anymore. There's better than others, but there's no such thing as a bad tyre anymore. You know, so for us, we do the market research and we will have a design ethos at the beginning of what it is, for whatever tyre it is, and then we'll set goals and we will have to meet those goals. But quite often, is that as we're designing something, another manufacturer may come out with something that may be slightly better than what our goal was. So it's probably then dragged back to the drawing board, and then we've got to go back and tweak it to make it better than the one that's come out.
You've got
to
beat those guys.
So it's just literally a ladder going up and up and up. Then all of a sudden, now and again, it may be us, it may be another manufacturer, where we'll just hit something. You know, and it's right, hits the spot, and it's the best tyre that's ever been produced in its particular sector. And then, again, it raises the bar. Then we've all got to raise the bar, which is great. Because, like I said earlier, you know, the way that tyres perform now is just amazing. Yeah. They're amazing things.
You talk about nailing it. Now, a tyre that you guys made that really nailed it for me was that Battle Axe AX41, which I love, man. I've ridden that maybe on 3 different bikes, and I've worn it out, I think, on 3 different bikes. And that thing is just, it just blows my mind how, like, it's a 50-50 tyre, if people listening and watching aren't aware of it, but it's a 50-50 tyre for adventure bikes. And it just blows my mind how it can perform so well on the road and be so good off it as well. And my mind goes back to this time at the Honda Adventure Centre, because you guys, Bridgestone, supplies tyres to those
we
guys.
We did,
don't you?
Yeah,
you
up,
did.
Up until the end of last year.
Yeah, yeah. So I went last year, and at the Honda Adventure Centre, they have this little section, and it is just this slurry of mud. And you've got people who have never stood up on a bike before, probably started doing the course about 4 hours previously, and they said, go across this slurry of mud. And it's probably, I don't know, 100 metres, and the looks on their faces are just in horror. And you see them go across, and those tyres manage to get people across. Okay, the bike slithers a little bit, but they're just so good at gripping slush and sludge, and then you can ride home on them. And actually, sort of, you know, if you want to, not that I particularly do on an Africa Twin, but get your knee down. You know, that's insane.
Yeah. Well, that just proves the point. And, you know, we get asked a lot, obviously, about tyres where we're doing particular shows and stuff. And my answer to a lot of this stuff is that the motorcycle, the product that we wear, the product that we use, the tyres, etc., they're better than we are. you know, yeah. That is a given. They are better than we are, especially then when you see someone like the likes of Tony Bow doing trials on an Africa Twin. You know, then you'll hear someone say, you know, those Africa Twins aren't very good. It's like, well, you know, there's proof that they are very good. You know, and that goes for all the adventure bikes. And, you know, so like I say, it just goes to prove that if you've got the right coaching and the right bike, is that the product is there, the product will work. And like I say, it's a lot better than we are.
Yeah.
For sure.
Have you seen those guys? I see them on Instagram, and they're bumping down rock steps on the front wheel of an Africa Twin.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the?
Exactly.
What the hell? Yeah. How could you do that?
Yeah. And that's the sort of things that mere mortals like me, I can ride reasonably well, but, you know, that's just like levels and levels and levels above, isn't it?
That's some voodoo.
Yeah. You know, but it just proves of what that bike is put through to get it onto the street, you know, and all of the, you know, like I say, everything out there is better than we are. It really, really is.
One thing I really want to ask you about is one of the funnest things that any motorcycle journalist can do, which is go on a tyre launch. Now, I know that's something that you organise for Bridgestone, and you went on one recently in Spain, didn't you? You organised one. Alan, the founder of ABR, went along with you.
He did. That was AT41 launch.
And these like tyre launches are... they're great, aren't you? Because you just have a lineup of, I don't know, a selection of 5-10 different bikes, different types of bikes. The tyres are on there, and you just go and ride.
We do. We also, from feedback that we get from journalists as well, is that they'll go on a motorcycle launch, and it's one bike.
Yep.
It's one set of tyres, and they're on it for 2 days. Whereas you come on a tyre launch, like you say, you've got a whole host of different motorcycles to try at the same time.
It's kid in a candy store cliche, isn't it?
And so I think sometimes we have to pinch ourselves, don't we? how lucky we are. You know, but that launch last year that Alan came on, the AT41 launch, was one of the best ones that we've organised. It was phenomenal.
So take me through it. What was the plan for that launch? And tell us about the tyre.
Well, it was the AT41, which is basically 90% road, 10% off-road. So great, good on gravel and all that sort of stuff. But when you get to Maud, you're going to need something like an X41, you know, as in a proper knobbly. So we flew into... Northern Spain, I can't remember the airport. But anyway, ended up in San Sebastian, stayed there for the night, and then we jumped on a load of bikes the next morning, went up into the Pyrenees, and then down through into the Badurnus Desert.
Oh, mate, that place is stunning.
Isn't it just? Went there and then stayed in the desert itself. But the journalists were very lucky. They were staying in pods, which, because I think it's an astrologer's like playground, isn't it, down there? And they stayed in pods with clear roof on the top. So they just, you know, woke up in the morning and it was just looking out onto the countryside and stuff like that. And then we rode back. We did about 400 kilometres in 2 days on a whole host of different bikes and stuff like that. So we've got a lead rider, and then, but the lead rider is, you know, quick, that we don't use slow people. And our tail rider, a guy called Tim Rutig in our group, who's he works for Bridgestone Germany, but he's like been a world endurance champion. He held the Nürburgring lap record for a bit as well.
And he's a tail rider.
So yeah, he's a tail rider. Yeah, so you know, so we don't hang about. We have a good old laugh, and like you say, you can swap the bikes. Yeah. So the journalists can get more features out of the job as well, because they can test the bike and tyres at the same time. So it's a journalist's, you know, it's good for them.
Yeah, that's really it. Yeah. I don't know, when we're on bike launches, you know, there's a hell of a lot going through your head as to figuring out how the new bike performs, you know, filling with the switch gear and the menus, and the entire day is focused, where like a tyre launch, you just got to push the tyre. You've just got to enjoy it. You've just got to ride. And if nothing goes wrong, the tyres perform really well, isn't it?
Well, the thing is as well, I mean, most of the journalists as well have probably ridden all those bikes already. Yeah. So they can actually go and ride those bikes without having to think about what's good and bad about the bike. Yeah. So they can just go and think about the tyre, push the tyres and whatever terrain that we choose, you know, to put the tyres on. Depending on what the tyre is, if it's a sports tyre, you know, we're likely to launch it on track and road. That tyre was launched on road and gravel. Yeah. So it depends on what we're doing, really. But yeah, I mean, tyre launches are really, really good.
How awesome was that Bardenas? Is it Bardenas Real?
What's the race? It's,
when they do Aragon, the running of the bulls.
Isn't it Aragon? With a big, it's Aragon. It's in and around that area. Yeah. So, but it's fantastic roads. It's amazing.
Just gravel, isn't it? And I think, because I ended up there a bit randomly on a bike tour once, where I was up in the Pyrenees. The weather was atrocious. So me and my mate went south, and we ended up in this Bardenas Real desert. And is my right? They used to like shoot spaghetti westerns there.
Apparently,
and stuff
so.
Like that. Yeah.
Exactly what it is, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's like the Wild West, isn't it? And you can cruise along these gravel roads for miles. We ended up sleeping in it, which I think is highly illegal. And then got woken up the next day by this siren from a military base.
Right.
So you were like, oh, bugger. Yeah. Like, packed up our gear and legged it off. But what a place to go and play on bikes.
It's like, it's a different world.
Yeah.
And when you think that if you've got the 24-hour ferry to Santander or something, you know, it's on your doorstep as you get off the boat. And you know, it's a great, great place to go and ride a motorcycle in Spain. You know, I love going to Spain and riding a bike. I think it's great.
Do you get out there much? You tour quite a bit, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I don't. I've been a lot with work. Lots of tyre launches are in Spain, aren't they? For that very reason, aren't
they? Weather's good, roads are great, trails are great.
Your trails are great, everything you do. And they love motorcyclists over there. That's the advantage that you've got. You know, the cars move out of the way. They split when you want to filter. That, you know, they don't try and hinder you. You go into the garages and there's cutouts of Marquez and everybody else. You know, it's a proper motorcycling country.
They're national heroes, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just a proper motorcycling country.
Yeah, oh, it's great fun. Yeah. We've got to go back. Next tyre launch.
Well, I'm sure that when there's a product launch that warrants going to Spain, then you'll have to fight that one out with Alan.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the boss does pull rank, but you never know. It might fall at a good time. Anyway, okay. So we're talking tyres. Now, it can be tricky. There's a lot of tyres out there to choose from. It can be tricky knowing what tyre to put on your bike. So say you've got a dedicated... You stick to the road. So maybe you've got an RT, like you've got as a winter hack as a bike, haven't you? But you've also got a GS. Say you spend most of your time on the road. You know, what sort of things are you looking for in a tyre if you're an adventure biker that just sticks to the blacktop?
I think if you're just sticking to the road, then we've got our sport touring tyre, the T32. But I think as a rider, you've got to ask yourself what it is that you want yourself, you know, rather than the tyre, because that will answer the question for you. You know, so if you say to yourself, right, I'm never going to take this bike off-road, I'm not concerned too much whether the tyre looks like an off-road tyre, because some people like to have the tyre that keeps him within the characteristics of the bike.
It looks cool, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, you know, it's all there. And, you know, and the way that it looks, the aesthetics of a tyre is important. Yeah. You know, and we take that into consideration as well when it's designed. You know, because sometimes, you know, when if you don't turn around and look at your bike when you walk away, then you've got the wrong bike, haven't you?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, so if you do turn around and look at your bike, you look at it from the ground up, don't you? You know, so the tyre's got to look right, it's got to perform, obviously, but the bike's got to look right from the front, the side, whatever, you know, whatever it is. So from that point of view, ask yourself what it is that you want as a rider. So if you just want pure road performance, you're not bothered what the tyre looks like as such, then go for a pure sport touring tyre. And this is why we've introduced the AT41. So even though it's almost a pure road tyre, it does look like an off-road tyre. You know, so it's got a lot of blocks on it. So it doesn't feel like it feels, you know, like it's got blocks, but the performance is like a road tyre. So it's brilliant in the wet, absolutely fantastic in the wet. Simply, you know, because we've designed it in a way with all the grooves and the blocks to disperse water, because that's what, you know, most all year round motorcyclists are looking for now. You know, yes, we all want a good mileage as well, but that seems to have sort of taken a little bit of a dive. And providing you're getting a certain number of miles now, but the dry performance and the wet performance is up where you want it to be, you know, but there's always a trade-off. Whatever tyre you buy, there's a trade-off. So if you buy a knobbly, you're going to trade off the dry performance. If you buy a dry performance tyre, you're not going to be able to go, you know, when you're going down the road and you see a trail going up there to the right, whatever, you think, oh, I'm going to have a look up there. So if you've got your knobblies on, you can go up and have a look.
It's freedom, isn't it?
So it depends. You've got to be true to yourself, not what your mates have got on and what their type of riding is. What are you doing? You know, what is it that suits you? If you're getting on the, like I say, you're going to France and you're riding out to Spain and back, you've got no, you know, desire to go off road, then put a pure road tire on, like the T32, because that will do everything that you need it to do. It will get there, you get you back, and if it does rain, because we all know as well, as good as riding in Spain is, it can become quite slippery in places when it's wet.
If it hasn't rained for a while, all that crud and rubbish
exactly,
across the surface,
you know, so it can become wet. So, but then if you do put knobblies on, you know, just ride accordingly. But like I say, for me, it's be true to yourself. What is it that you want?
Yeah.
And if you answer that honestly, there's a tire in the range that will suit what that answer is.
You talk about the grooves, isn't it? And grooves, I was interesting to find out when I looked into tires a few years ago that so much science goes into the pattern. You know, it's not an aesthetic thing because, you know, as you said, those grooves are there to not just, you know, to take the water away from the path of your tire, aren't they? So it's you know, it's a huge... And what surprises me is tires are so different when it comes to their groove patterns. So I guess, like anything, is it constantly evolving? You're constantly looking to build on that performance.
It is constantly evolving, but, you know, the tread pattern, yes, it is there primarily to disperse water, but it also has to be, it has to deform in a certain way when you're going around corners that it still disperses water. And also when the tire deforms when you're going around a corner because it flattens out, so we can still disperse water, and the groove is dispersing in a way that it still allows that to do that. You know, so there's a lot more to it than just putting a groove in the tire. But the way that the grooves evolve would be also work in conjunction with the sort of the makeup or the carcass of the tire as the materials used as well, because they'll, you know, there's some manufacturers use a really soft carcass, whereas we use a really stiff carcass. So the way that our tyres will hit the road would be quite slightly different or very different to another brand's tyre. There's a lot of science that goes into it, and this is where this Ultimate Eye software comes in. It helps us. We can put the data in, and you know, and out pops the design, and it's great for us because, like I say, we can get it cuts down on costs because we haven't got to keep making tyres. And then testing them, tweaking them, and all that sort of stuff. So it saves time and it saves a lot of money as well.
Yeah. It's just the joy of technology. It's that ChatGPT in the tyre world, maybe. Well,
everything just evolves, doesn't it? I mean, if you look at motorcycles from 20, 30 years ago, I mean, they're good. But even now, I mean, we're just spoiled, aren't we? With what's available in the technology, I'm all for technology, and you know, in all the traction control and the anti slide and anti wheelie and all these things, I think they're great. Providing you can turn them off and you've got a choice, I think they're great, and they should be there, absolutely.
And I think that's key, isn't it? Is there a better time to have been a motorcyclist than now? Like particularly an adventure biker, but any biking in general, because you've got just so much damn choice. And the adventure bike segment alone, you know, you've got your small ones, your mid-sized bikes, and then, you know, the big bikes like your V4 rallies from Ducati are just pushing the bar, aren't they? It's insane.
Yeah, it is. And like I say, I think you're right. I think we are in a golden age of motorcycling at the moment with kit, tyres, bikes. There is a lot to choose from. They're all good. They're all good in their own way. Again, when you're choosing your motorcycle, you've got to be true to yourself, isn't it? What is it that you want? You know, if I wouldn't personally choose my GS if I was going on a proper adventure.
Yep.
I'd get something smaller.
Ah.
I would, personally. I'd get something more manageable. But then there's that other person that think, well, no, I can only go on a GS. I'm only going to use a GS. But as long as you're being true to yourself on what that choice is, I think, you know, to go and do it.
Yeah,
you know, Alison, who you just met out there, works with me at Bridgestone, and you know, she's just sold a Harley, and she's got a T7.
Oh, cool!
She's picking that up in a couple of 3 weeks. She would have had it by now, but unfortunately, she slipped over and broke her wrist. But she would have had it by now because she wants to go. She wants to go and ride anytime, anywhere.
So she'd have like a Harley Cruiser before,
yes.
Kind of thing. Oh, okay, yeah.
Softail, I think it was. But yeah, so she's gone and got a total opposite to the scale for her. But she wants to go and ride. She wants to get up in the morning, not bother what the weather's doing, not bother what terrain she's on, and just go and ride. She wants to go and ride. And I think an adventure bike has allowed that to happen, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because we're not bothered whether they're dirty. You just throw it back in the garage when you get back and give it a quick rinse off. And whereas if it was a sports bike, you'd be, you know, getting the cotton buds out, wouldn't you, and meticulously cleaning it. But with a venture bike, you don't bother, do you?
Mate, my Triumph Bonneville, I'm like wiping down the chrome and keeping it nice and cozy in the garage. Yeah, my venture bikes, not so much.
Exactly.
But so you say you're going on, you know, you ride on and off road fair amount. You're heading off on an adventure. So what bike are you choosing, and what, more importantly, what tyre are you choosing?
If I was going on an adventure, and I, like I said earlier, if I was going down somewhere and I saw a lane off to the side that was, you know, legally allowed to go on.
At least there's not a sign saying you're not allowed to go down.
Well, exactly,
anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, I was out in the peaks last week, and I mean, there's the signs at the beginning of the trails where, you know, it's accessible to cars and bikes and stuff. And if I was going on that type of adventure, I'd either get a Tenere 700. Yep. Or I'd get an 890 KTM Super Adventure. I would get something that's more manageable, but comfortable enough to do miles on, but something that you can go off road on properly, is what I would get. I wouldn't take the GS on that personally. No. Well, it's my bike as well, and it's my pride and joy. And I've had it since it's 8 years old now. And I've had it almost since new, so it's, you know.
So it's still looking new.
Reasonable.
Not too bad.
Reasonable. Yeah, I mean, I use it all year round. So I ride all year round, like you boys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a fair weather biker. I'm out. If it's safe from a road perspective, you know, it's icy or snowy, then I'm out. I'm out riding. You know, I've done probably 2,000 miles already this year.
So you're on your T7.
Yeah.
What tyres you got on there?
Again, for that adventure, AX41s.
Yeah.
The ones that you love.
It's such a good tyre.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've ridden to, a few years ago, I went away with some friends and, well, in the industry, actually, journalists, but we rode to Austria in March. I took a KTM 1290 Super Duke Adventure, rode down there on X41s, rode back, did, what, 3,000 miles plus. They were fine. Brilliant. But like I say, you've got the option, haven't you? They're more than good enough on the road. More than good enough on the road. Riding at, you know, a reasonable pace without going mad, but you've just got that option, and you know that if you do come across something, you can go, oh, let's go have a cheeky look up there. And that's what they're for, isn't it? That's exactly what they're for. It just opens up a whole new world of motorcycling. So you can have an adventure bike, but unless you've got the right equipment on it, you're not going to go proper adventuring, are you? But you put a proper pair of adventure tires on, like the X41, you can go where you want and do what you want, especially if you've got a mate with you. You can drag each other out should you get stuck. That's for me, is what adventure biking is all about.
Yeah, and it's what I always say to people, like, you know, the most important part of a motorcycle, it's the tyre. It's the bit in contact with the road. And before you upgrade your suspension, you whack on an aftermarket exhaust, before you do anything else, think about what you want to be doing on your adventure bike and get some tyres to suit that. And that will transform your experience. It really will.
Yeah. I mean, in a previous life, I worked in British Superbikes, TT, World Superbikes, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, for me, you work a motorcycle from the ground up.
Yeah.
You know, you start with your tyres, and then, you know, then you go to your suspension and your brakes. That's what you do, because if it doesn't stop and it doesn't go and it doesn't handle, it doesn't matter how powerful your engine is. If it doesn't put the power to the floor and it doesn't stop, it just waste an absolute waste of time. So yeah, your tyres and then your suspension, that's what you should always do first. You'll go much faster just by getting those components right.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so earlier today, you went over to Ragley Hall.
We did.
The location of the Adventure Bike Rider Festival,
yep.
Which is taking place on the 23rd to the 25th of June. Tickets are still available. Yep. You don't need to buy tickets. You've got yours already. But if you do, anyone wants to buy tickets, watching, listening, you can head over to www.abrfestival.com. Now, Bridgestone sponsors the jewel in the crown of the Adventure Bike Rider Festival, the Bridgestone Adventure Trail.
Yep.
It's going to be bigger, better, more exciting to ride this year. And I reckon, going back to it again, that AX41 is probably the ideal tyre for it, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be, because it will work on the gravel. So we did, like I say, we've just been over, but we didn't get very far because we just bogged down and got stuck. It's very, very wet over there at the moment.
You were in the truck, weren't you?
We were.
Yeah, the ground is saturated at the Midlands.
So we were pushing it and dragging it and all sorts of stuff. And Bryn's just sat there quite, you know, nice and cozy in the driver's seat. So whilst we dragged it out. So we aborted mission, but it would have been nice to have gone and had a lap on the new course. But we'll have to wait until the festival, or nearer to the festival, to do that. But yeah, the AX41, because over there you've got hard pack, you've got gravel, you've got the mud, you've got water crossings, and we know that you can put those on before you get there, and we will come out with an offer before, you know, to the showgoers before it starts, so that we can get the guys over there on the AX41s before they get there.
Yep.
But the thing is, they'll be able to ride there on the AX41s. That's the point. They'll be able to ride there on the AX41s, go and do whatever terrain is on offer, and then ride home. And that's the beauty of having such an adventure tyre that works on the road, works on the tarmac, works in the mud, works on gravel. It just works in any terrain. That's what your adventure bike's designed for, isn't it?
So we've
designed a tyre so you can take your adventure bike and do what it's designed to do.
And I guess quite an important thing as well when you're choosing a tyre is obviously to think about the bike you're on, wheel size. But I know that tyres are also, you know, some tyres are designed to be ridden with a big, heavy 250-kilogram adventure bike, plus pillion, plus a few kilograms of muscle, being the rider like myself, and luggage. And so, you know, a tyre designed for that is going to be very different to a knobbly tyre, a chunky tyre designed for, I don't know, KTM EXC 350 or something like that, which is half the weight and probably not carrying the payload. So there's important considerations there as well, isn't there?
There is, but there's governing bodies around the world which state what, based on the size of the tyre and the load it's going to take, we have to meet certain criteria. The European one's called the ETRTO, which is European Time Rim Technical Organisation. So within there, there's like a 180 width, 180 55 17, for example, is nominal fitment, is a 5.5-inch rim. It will fit on a smaller one, it will fit on a larger one, but it would advise in there, in these set of regulations that we have to adhere to. Then you've got the axle weights of the bike, the maximum axle weights of the bike that will take. So we then have to, within then there's the load index on the tyre, so we need to make sure that the tyre is designed to take that load.
So
we do have to take that into consideration. We'll make a big knobbly for an adventure like a GS or whatever. So, but the same criteria, although different, is then taken into account for enduro tyres because they're road legal. You're right, the bike, the axle weights are much lighter. They then will have to pass an FIM approved, you know, to make sure that they're road legal and so on and so forth. So, but there's different sets of rules and regulations per size of tyre and bike it's being fitted to. It's a minefield. I won't go into it. I'll be happy to talk to you about it at another time and probably do this again so we can go into it in more depth. But it is a minefield out there. But yeah, everything's taken into consideration. The pressures which we use, again, they're in this book as well. So the pressures, the maximum and minimum which we're allowed to use, or have to use, we've got to stay within it according to the load and the speed and the bike and everything. It's like I say, it's a bit of a minefield, but there's rules and regulations there which all tyres, not just us, it's all tyre manufacturers and all motorcycle manufacturers have to adhere to.
They do talk to each other. There is
communication there between all tyres at that level, because we all need to be singing from the same hymn sheet really in terms of what fits what, and you know, otherwise it can go very wrong very quickly. So very easily, more to the point. So no, we all need to make sure that first and foremost, safety. Make sure that everything works and is designed within the parameters to keep everybody safe and it's not going to fail.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. But that would go across the board with building regulations and, you know, anything that's being made, there's a regulation for it, isn't there?
That's it. When it comes to road safety, that's an important
exactly.
thing. But back to more exciting things, the Bridgestone Adventure Trail. I get asked quite a lot. People have got sort of 80-20 tyres on their adventure bikes. Very common. You know, will they be all right on the trail? And my response is usually, if it's dry, yeah. Because even though they're very road-focused, these tyres perform pretty well off-road, don't they? But when it's wet, take a bit of care. Is that kind of what you'd echo? Or
yeah, but again, for me, I would advise anyone, if you've not done that much off-roading, is go and get some tuition. That is what I would say. You know, regardless of what product you've got on, because a lot of it is is how good you are off-road, because even if you've got an 80-20 on and you get stuck, you can just guarantee that someone on the same bike and the same tyres is going by at 100 miles an hour without a care in the world.
Yeah, you know? You're so, looking on really jealous. How do they do that?
So there's a lot that I think that, you know, on adventure bikes, if you are going to take it off-road, go and get some tuition. That is my advice. And then choose your tyre, as we alluded to earlier. You'd be true to yourself, what are you going to do with it? If it's the odd gravel track, there's no point having a knobbly.
Yeah, well, that's something that ABR's chief bike tester, Julian, says a lot. And he rides the TEP a lot, the Trans-Euro Trail in the UK. And he always says, buy the tyre for the trickiest section of route you're going to be in doing. Yeah. Because, you know, it's a knobbly tyre. Might struggle a little bit on a paved surface, but you'll just take it easy.
Yeah.
Whereas a road-focused tyre ain't going to get you up that slippery, rocky step in the rain, is it?
You've got more chance of getting to A to B on your knobbly tyre on the road than you have getting to A to B with a road tyre where you need a knobbly.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So always over-tyre. That's what you're going to do. If you're going to go off-road, then just go, yeah, exactly. That's a good...
Over-tyre, that sounds quite rugged.
Yeah,
I like it.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Now, you mentioned something about... you mentioned about getting some tuition. You know, one of the great things about the ABR Festival is we've got the world's leading off-road skill schools there, ready to teach you on-site, all part of the ticket price. But, you know, you ride a fair bit off-road. How did you get into riding off-road? How did you take your first steps going from that BSB sports bike background?
When I first moved to Bridgestone in 2004, Bridgestone sponsored Mick Extance for the Dakar.
Ah, cool.
And then I was asked to go and drop him some tyres off. So I met him so he could go and do the Dakar. And then we sort of pulled out of off-road enduro stuff for a few years. And then I was at the NEC one year just walking around, and I bumped into Mick again, who then said to me, "Oh, hello, Gary, how are you doing?" "So I'm just setting up a new school," which you've been to. Down in Wales. Would Bridgestone be interested in supporting it? At that time, we'd just reintroduced motocross tyres and enduro tyres back into the range. So
perfect
it was
timing.
Absolutely perfect timing. It couldn't have been any better. So we went for a meeting with him, and I went down with him. I said, "Look, let me go and show you the venue and stuff." And I'd really never been off-road at all. So I said, "Look, Mick, I've never been. It snowed and it was horrible. I got photos of it. Me just like freezing to death up on top of Mitts Mountain, and I loved it."
Yeah,
and I absolutely loved it. And then that's it. You couldn't keep me away from it. It was, and then I started competing in the All Terrain Rally Championship, like doing the Baja Pikes Peak and the Havering Rally and all that sort of stuff. Just on going out with mates and stuff. And I at least forgot road bikes at that point.
Yeah,
and I just did a hell of a lot of off roading, and I still do a little bit now. I don't do as much, not because I don't want to, just because I haven't got a lot of time at the moment to get down and to get it done. But that's how I got into it. You know, I just did it once, and that was it.
What was it about it that really grabbed you? Was it?
I think it was because it was different.
Yeah.
It was just totally different to what I'd done in the past. The scenery, just going to places. For me, it wasn't about... Because when I was growing up and I was on my sports bikes and my RDs and stuff, you know, and in the 80s and stuff, it was about getting from A to B as fast as you can. And then doing track days, about getting around the track as fast as you can. But then when I started doing the off-roading, it wasn't about how fast you could get to B. A to B. It was, can I get from A to B?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
You know, and I think that was where it all came from. It's like, especially with Mick, you know what Mick's like? He would say, "Look, go on then, get yourself up there. I can't, Mick." "Yeah, you can, yeah." And Mick instills a hell of a lot of confidence into you, you know, even though you don't think it at the time. And he said, "Go on then, get yourself up there." So like for me, it's like, for me, can I get from A to B? Not how fast can I do it? Until you start doing the rallies and racing and stuff. But green laning going off-road is literally about that. It's like getting from one end to the other. And the achievement of doing it.
Yeah.
And then your mates are standing there and they're applauding you and clapping you or booing you and all, you know, calling you all sorts of names under the sun because you failed. But then you'll go back down to the bottom and then try again and you get up and it's great. It's just creates great camaraderie with your mates, I think, off-roading does. It's brilliant.
It's a great leveler, I find, as well. Because I'm always very honest. I'm a very average off-road rider. I like doing it. I roll my tyres over most things, but I'll do it at my own pace. You know? And I've been lucky enough to ride with... I know people like Lel Pavey on bike launches, and you know, Lel's done the Dakar, for God's sake. You know, he's really, really, really good. But there's just something about riding off road for me where, I don't know, the egos seem to disappear. Like, you're meant to fall off.
Yeah.
If you're not falling off, you're not really trying hard enough. And when you do fall off, it don't matter. Yeah. Pick it up, your mate will come along and give you a hand and just just keep on riding.
It is, yeah. It's exactly that, and getting stuck in bogs and then trying to drag your bike out, and your mate, again, your mates are just like booing you and cheering you and whatever, you know, ridiculing whatever they do. But that's all part of the fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how fast you go or how slow you are. It's just about going out with your mates and having a good time. And like I say, there's obstacles to try and get over, go around, you know, whatever it is. But you're all there for the same thing, and there's no egos, absolutely not. You get to the end of every trail, you wait for each other, and then you carry on.
Yeah. What about bike touring? Have you done a fair amount?
I have done a lot of bike touring, yeah, in the UK. And obviously with job, I'm lucky that I go abroad a lot with work and go on launches and do a lot of miles over there. But I've ridden into Spain many, many times and back and, you know, down to the Algarve. I've done it on sports bikes, never again. Oh, no, that put me off sports bikes forever, that did. Never again. I do a lot of touring. I do a lot of touring in the UK. My partner, she enjoys going on the back as well, so we're always out doing something. So, the weather's nice, just get out on the bike. It frees the mind as well, doesn't it? Especially when you've had a busy week at work and lots of stress and stuff like that, and just get the bike out. It just works wonders, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And nothing beats for me, if you had a really busy week, go for a ride and then a few beers at the end of it. And just relax with your friends, and it's the source. Gary, I've got a list of questions here that I thought we'd get through and ask. We've hardly touched them. Doesn't matter. We've had a chat.
Well, I think we've probably it's gone all good. Through most of
we've
them
probably
in
got
some
through
shape
it.
Or form.
We've got through it. We're going to talk about tubed or tubeless tyres, reducing tyre pressures. Perhaps we'll save that for another podcast.
But it's entirely up to you. We can have a technical one next time if you wish.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Tell me about tube tyres then.
Well, it obviously depends on the rim that the motorcycle manufacturer produces. Yeah. Like the GS has got tubeless. The CRF has got, well, I think the older ones are tube, aren't they? And the new ones are tubeless. Something around, or actually the other way around. Can't remember. But they're as good as each other. Obviously, if you get a puncture with a tube, it's more difficult.
Yeah, you got to take the wheel off, take the tyre out, where you can just plug a tubeless tyre, can't you,
or
easily?
You can put some, you know, slime in it. More often than not, you know, that slime will plug a tube, or can, it depends on, obviously, being much smaller, like a pinprick type thing, rather than, but then the problem is with the tube, if you hit a rock, it then pinches the tube and can cause a real big slice in the tube, and then you've got to stop, and then you've got to get the wheels out, and it's, for me, I would just always go tubeless if you can, I think there are a lot of tubeless converting kits out there, aren't they, or put some later wheels in it and stuff like that, but if you are on tubes, always carry spare tubes with you. I mean, when I've been adventuring, especially with Mick and stuff, and I've done a lot of riding with Mick in Morocco and stuff, and done, you know, Dakar routes and Sahara Desert and all that sort of stuff, and we always say, rather than taking a 21-inch front and an 18-inch rear, just put a couple of 19-inch tubes in.
Yeah.
Because then that will fit the front and it will fit the rear. Yeah. Not ideally, but it will fit better than trying to put an 18 in the front and a 21 in an 18. So just take a couple of 19-inch tubes with you and just do it that way. But, if you can, tubeless. I think a lot of bikes now, the adventure bikes, are tubeless, though, aren't they?
Yeah, it makes life easier.
It does, yeah, it definitely does. And for when you want to change them as well and stuff like that. So
riding in Morocco with Mick Exton's, Dakar legend, what was that like? What were you doing?
It was amazing. We flew into, we flew into Marrakech and then got a minibus over the Atlas Mountains into Ouarzazate, started off from there, and then Mick took us down. We had, I think it was 6 days, did about 1,500 miles in 6 days on KLX 450s. So not the most comfortable of bikes, but on some of the terrain that he took us to, it was just it's amazing. Just literally in the middle of nowhere. And then that was on a lot of the Dakar routes that went from north to south of Morocco. And then through the sand dunes in the Sahara. One of Mick's mates, Ali, he's got a hotel called The Palace. I can't remember exactly where it is now. But he's got a hotel there, so we stayed there. And then we just literally spent a day in the dunes.
Just having fun.
Just messing about in the sand. And to be honest with you, it was probably the hardest thing I've ever done on a motorcycle.
It's been knackering the entire day trying to chase Mick Exton's down.
Yeah. Well, the thing is you don't realise is as the sun moves around, you've got the dunes. And obviously, you're the high, the low, and there's all the crevices and everything. And when the sun's in a certain area, it looks flat. And then when it moves, you can see the dunes and you can see the drop-offs and everything that's there. So unless you know what you're looking for, we were there and, someone was going down the dunes and they thought it was flat. And not what? It's like... Down. Yeah, down. And of course, there's a hard side to the dune and a soft side to the dune according to which way the wind's blowing. So you've got to be able to read all of that sort of stuff. You know, that's why some people are really, really good in the dunes. So it's not just being able to ride in sand. It's knowing how to navigate through the dunes and what the hard part of the dune is, the soft part of the dune, where the sun's shining, where there's crevices, where you can stay on top, and all sorts of things. And if you do drop down, can you get back up? Is it a soft side? You know, all sorts of things. And I remember hitting one dune. I thought it was hard, and it was soft, and I literally just went straight into the side of it. Right, the bike just lodged its itself into the dune, threw me over the handlebars, and I was literally facing my head down on the side of a dune, and the bike was just sat there on its own, like on a paddock stand.
It's like an imprint of your just body an imprint, in the bike.
Exactly that, yeah, exactly that. And then
that one down for the rest
of
the night.
I think they did that one on purpose.
Beers were on you that night.
I was trying to get up there, and it wasn't. It was like riding into a piece of plasticine.
And that's quite an important thing, isn't it? You mentioned about you need to read the dunes. And when you're riding off-road, like a real key thing is looking ahead and reading the trail. And I guess if you've got the right rubber underneath you, God, it just clears your mind, doesn't it? To stop thinking about, can I stay up? But actually, okay, what's my best line? What's the terrain doing? And I think when I learned to think about how to tackle the train ahead, that gave me a little bit of a leap in confidence. And I guess that it's down to being confident in the bike and the rubber below you, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. And also, like I said earlier, you know, all of the components are better than we are. And reading the more you read the trail, the more you look ahead, the better off you'll be. Because some particular instances, you need momentum to get you from, you know, up a hill or something like that. Or you just need to slow down and navigate some rocks or something. So if you can see them and prepare yourself for it, then the better chance you've got of getting over whatever obstacle it is in front of you. But I also think as well, if you're thinking about the tyres you've got on, then you've got the wrong tyres on, haven't you?
Yeah, that's it.
It's as simple as that. And again, going back to the what would you choose, you've got to be true to yourself of what you're going to do. And if you are going to tackle some off-road, over-tyre. Just totally over-tire, because if you do hit something like that, you've got far more chance of getting through and out the other side than you have with something that isn't designed for that type of terrain.
Yeah. Gary, it's been an absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed chatting with you. I love the fact we haven't got through half the questions on the sheet. We'll get rid of the sheet. It's gone. Won't worry about it. Maybe we'll do another one, a little bit more technical in the future.
Absolutely, more than up for that.
Fascinating to hear about, you know, your life in tyres and get some advice from you. And you're going to be at the Avenger Bike Rider Festival, aren't you? So if people want to come over and talk to you, pick your brain about tyres, hear more tales from Morocco with Dakar riders, you're going to be there on hand.
We are going to be there, and this year we will be in the Bridgestone tent and the Bridgestone campfire. So whilst all the talks are on, we'll be in the back there and, open to any questions or information or advice that anybody wants. But like I say, if anybody just wants to have a chat and just talk about motorcycling in general, up for that as well. It's what we all do, isn't it? And that's the camaraderie that we have as motorcyclists, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're all there for the same reason.
Brilliant. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for your time. And hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.